Welcome back to Don't Call It a Book Club. My name is Luke.
My name is Dan.
Today we are finished with The Raven Scholar by Antonia Hodgson. Gonna be talking about the ending here, but Dan.
Yep.
I've got a hot take to get us warmed up.
Okay,
Luke. Tell you, you're gonna hate it. This is gonna This is gonna be a genuinely hot take.
Ooh, because your last hot take, I was all for. I was down for.
Yeah. Okay. I'm not 100% sure, but I'm pretty sure that this one is genuinely hot, and you might not agree with me.
Okay. All right, go ahead, Luke.
You know how we talk about food a lot on here, and I think generally both of us like a lot of different foods from a lot of different cuisines. Mm-hmm. Generally positive.
Yeah.
Are people messing with me when they really like pho?
Ooh, this is so interesting.
I don't like it. I've tried it a lot.
Yeah.
I like other Vietnamese foods.
Yeah.
And I get pho, and like every Vietnamese place, it's like called pho is in the name.
Yeah.
Pho is the main thing that you order.
Yeah.
Everybody likes pho.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
Okay. Luke, this is really interesting because it's been a while since I've had pho because I'm vegetarian. Yeah. And most places where they do pho, I think it's a beef broth is typically what it's in.
Sure.
And so I haven't had pho in like maybe a decade.
Okay.
But I will say, Luke, you actually may have hit on something that is deep in my psyche, because I remember going to a pho place about a decade ago, and it was like renowned. Everyone was like, you gotta go here. We went as like a group, ordered pho, and I remember being like, this isn't that good. This is just like soup, guys.
So, for those that haven't tried it, and I, let me give some caveats here.
Yeah.
Okay. Because I don't want to insult a whole culinary tradition. That's not my intention. I love, give me a banh mi.
Oh, I love a banh mi.
Give me a vermicelli bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Love those. Pho, it's like a broth.
Yep.
Which not the best broth.
See, here's the thing, Luke, is I think if you don't love the broth, that's it. Because the main part of a pho is like the broth is the thing. Here's, Luke, I will tell you, I've made pho before.
Uh-huh.
It is so much effort to make pho. It is.
Yeah.
There is so much that goes into that broth. And I have a distinct memory of saying never again when I made it. Because I was like, this is too much work for what it is.
Well, the other thing is, When you get pho at a restaurant,
yeah,
everyone around, they'll bring you a bottle of sriracha or some other sauce.
Yeah.
And you're supposed to just add a bunch of it.
Yeah.
It's like, okay. What? So, okay. So it's not good.
Well, if you want it spicy, you know.
Yeah, but still, okay. But, and then, okay, so the broth is fine.
Yeah.
And part of this is, like, I'm not a big, like broth kind of person. Like, I think ramen is better than pho, but I'm also not a huge ramen person.
Mm-hmm.
But pho, it's like, okay, the broth is like, eh. And then the noodles are like, eh.
Oh,
and
no.
Then it's like the worst cuts of meat.
Yeah, the like chewiest beef you could find.
It's like tripe and like it says like raw steak or not raw steak, but like rare steak, but it's like boiled.
Yeah.
And then like sometimes they put like ligaments in there and it's like ah. then, and I just don't like it, okay? I don't understand. Almost all the time when we go to a, like, I don't know. I'm usually so positive about foods, and people are all loving pho, and it's one of the very few that no thank you.
Wow.
I'll take something else.
Yeah. Luke, I appreciate this take. I think this was brave of you, and I applaud your courage.
Thank you.
Because
I mean,
a lot. You're gonna get a lot of haters coming for you, and I just want them to know that I was just agreeing with Luke. Okay, I didn't bring this up that I didn't like pho. This was on Luke. So direct your ire to him, please.
Okay. Yes. Please do.
But Luke, I will say, you're so brave.
Thank you for that.
And I respect it.
Yes. Yes. We gotta occasionally bring on some genuine hot takes, Dan, to boost our credibility.
I agree, Luke. Should we talk book?
Yeah, let's talk book.
Okay. So we finished The Raven Scholar. The last third gets wild. I'll say I thought I knew where this book was going, and then the last third was like, not even close, buddy. Can we start by talking about Andrin Valet a little bit?
Okay.
Because we like sort of said maybe this guy's alive. Definitely not in the way that we thought. But how... He's so evil, right? Because if we think about the opening tragedy of this book, he is sitting on the throne and is like, hey, kids, I'm going to have to pit you against each other. And the crime that I'm going to be punishing one of you for is being a traitor to the emperor, which is actually me.
Right.
Which is actually me. And in fact, everyone in this room kind of knows it's me. Like, nobody in here is under the preconception that I am, you know, the bear or whoever.
I didn't think about the fact that he didn't actually have to pretend in this scene.
No. Everyone is just like, everyone except his kids knows who it is.
Yeah.
So then he's like, hey, you have to choose. And Ruko's like, exile. Ruko goes with exile, and it's like, for what crime, actually? For no crime is what you exiled her for.
Right.
And meanwhile, Andrin is just like sitting there like, oh, well, damn, he went exile? Fuck. You're crazy, dude. She didn't even do anything. I told her to keep that headband.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
And so at one point he tells Ruko that he wanted his daughter to do it instead, like that he was the second pick. I don't think that's true, actually.
Yeah, I mean, I think based on the ending, it seems like he did want Ruko to be the eventual emperor.
Right.
Slash fake emperor.
Exactly. And so when he's like talking to Ruko about the fact he's trying to put him down because he's now trying to create a subservient little guy. But there's no way. Like, he definitely put him in this position to be like, exile your sister. Yes. Listen to the darkness. To put him on this
feel like,
path.
Like, he did this super easy thing to put him on this path. And like, I guess it worked out. But too elaborate, right?
Well, Luke, here's the thing. So the dragon trial, I think, is the same every time.
Yes, I think that's right.
He and Bearson did the dragon trial.
Mm-hmm.
And if you remember, the question they ask is, did you see yourself on the throne?
Right.
And he walked away like laughing hysterically. Because
he walked out of the trial laughing hysterically.
Right. Because he had to answer no. because he never sees himself
sitting
on the throne.
That's right.
But he knows that it's him. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
he sees Bersin or Ruko sitting on the throne, but it's actually him, which is why he leaves laughing, because he's like, oh, that's very funny. I had to tell them no, yeah, and Bersin had to win. So I think the point here is, like, he knows what's going to, like, eventually happen. Like, I think he knows Ruko is going to become the emperor.
Yeah.
I think he just had to figure out how to... But, okay, this actually gets at a larger point here, which I don't think any of these plans are that impressive if you literally saw the future. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of times we get into the things of, like, when people see the future, it's like, can you impact it and stuff like that?
Right.
That gets a little bit complicated.
Especially if it's specific, right?
Yeah, because, like, at a certain point, if we're going to take the route of being like, this is going to happen regardless, it's kind of like any plan that he came up with would have worked.
Right. 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 So... Which actually, Luke, makes his whole deal worse, because if it's truly the future,
right,
be a good dad to your kids.
Yeah,
right, like, it's gonna happen, buddy. You might as well be a good dad.
Well, so am I correct in thinking that there was just no reason to exile either of them to, like, do any of this?
I think the only option for exile was his daughter. I don't think the son was going to be exiled, right?
Right, but I mean, like if the plan is to eventually have Roku,
yeah,
Ruko,
yeah, not
my TV,
yeah,
like, win the Olympic Games,
yeah,
and become emperor.
Yeah.
The whole exile thing, it doesn't affect that.
Well,
right?
That's the question, is if the future is going to happen regardless, like, why do you need to do any of your plans? Like, why do your plans matter at all? And I think if the future isn't destined to happen, I think Andrin would say that he had to put Ruko on the path to being just, like, his only purpose is winning the throne, right?
Oh, so it's just it's a way to build his motivation, basically?
Yeah, because think about it, right? What did Ruko sacrifice in order to put himself in that position? Like, he did the worst thing imaginable in this world. Right. So, like, he has only one option for his life's path, right? It's just like, I can only do one thing now, and that's become emperor or die.
Yeah, okay, sure.
So he kind of creates a monster with a single purpose with that exiling action, right? But again, it's this question of, like, if the future's going to happen regardless, like, if you've foreseen it, don't worry about the plan, actually.
Well, the other thing is, and I realize that we've jumped to the end here.
Yeah.
But this, like, coup that happens, because it's basically a coup, is that, like, he kills everyone, essentially, and, like, takes over the dragon.
Yeah.
Contingent, kind of.
Yeah.
And, like, basically, he does this by force.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And so the thing about Ruko being emperor, it's, like, kind of nice to have, but it's, like, well, it's really mostly the murder kind of thing. And so, like, I don't know.
You're saying why the charade?
Like, just do the coup, you know? If you're going to...
Well,
okay.
It
seems...
Yeah. Luke, I will say, I think the coup works on the island, right? But yeah. if he wants to try and keep the empire in check, he needs to have some legitimacy to his position.
Sure.
So I think, because I think he would have open rebellion in the empire if he was just like, hey, actually, I'm still alive. I'm Ondran, still alive and kicking, doing great, and now I'm emperor.
Right.
I think he would get some resistance.
Okay, sure. Yeah, from outside the island, which we haven't really seen any, like, yeah. what that looks like yet. That's fair.
Right, right. But you're right. Like, his coup is very, it doesn't matter. And I think that most people know, like, most of the participants of the coup know the deal. Like, they're not doing this for Ruko. They're doing this because they're like, oh, yeah, that's Ondran.
Yeah.
Oof. But they had to make him, they had to make him like the worst guy of all time.
Yeah.
So. We did jump ahead, though. We did jump ahead to the end.
Okay, let's come back. So I have a note that is not going to be relevant for you, Dan, but for some of our listeners who have read Beneath the Dragon Eye Moons.
Okay.
That series. I'm getting, when I've been enjoying reading things from the Raven's perspective, at least before things went wrong. Because I think the Raven has a funny personality.
Yes.
Kind of, right?
Yes.
And it reminds me very much of Ari, the Phoenix from Beneath the Dragon Eye Moons. And I'm wondering if there's some motivation there, because it seems so like stylistically similar that I'm catching that. And again, Dan, I know you can't comment on that, but
listeners,
I wanted to throw that out there.
Luke is clocking it. Is it the same author, Luke?
No.
Okay.
It's just the vibes to me are similar. Throwing it out there. But okay. That's a small one. I wanted to talk about the fox.
Yeah.
Inhabiting Kane.
Yeah.
Did you have any notes on this?
A couple, but they're a little bit more general.
Okay. The first one is that I really wrote down that I don't remember, is that this story about the fox inhabiting baby Kane was like really long.
Yeah.
We could have cut that down a little bit to get the point. But regardless, I'm into it.
Yeah.
Love the little part of, because Kane is very like exemplifies the fox super well.
Yeah.
I think. In ways that I feel like Kane to me is very charming.
Yes, definitely.
And I do think it's kind of like the author strikes a good balance with Kane, because when the fox actually comes out 100%,
yeah,
it's like too much chaos.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
Whereas Kane is like a nice 50-50 balance between like normal human and fox, I think. And I think it comes off well.
Yeah. Yeah. Good pick by the fox, I'll say.
Yeah.
A wise pick. But Luke, I think it's interesting because the number of contenders that have like an aspect of the eight involved feels very high in this tournament. No?
It does.
Like, is it?
We haven't seen other tournaments before, but this feels like more than the normal.
Granted, like, there is this prophecy that they're potentially encountering where they're like gonna return, and so maybe there's like more emphasis on this one, but like Nima's got an aspect of the Raven in her, and the fox is in Kane, and there's like the tiger is like whispering to Ruko.
Yeah.
Then the bear gets involved.
Wasn't the monkey involved somewhere too? The monkey was like on, I think the monkey was like with that former artist or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. And they just feel very present. And I don't know how you can be an atheist, I guess. Like, I don't know. Nima starts this being like, I don't think the eight are even real. And yeah. This one contest, it's like, yeah, five of them showed up at one point. So.
Yeah. And like the thing about the prophecy.
Yeah.
Like that's been kind of active for like 1,000 years.
Seems that way, yeah.
So other than like how this ends up, there I don't see necessarily a reason why there were so many of them involved. I do wonder if just like this is maybe somewhat outside the norm, but there's kind of always a few messing around.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Well, I guess actually the dragon kind of gives this warning, at least to Raven, that like it needs to do something to kind of save the world.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
So I guess there is a little bit of like they need to be out there doing something and this one is special.
Yeah.
But also like that could have been all of the other ones and they just were successful previously. You know?
Yeah, exactly. And the other thing about it, so either it's like rare, or I feel like it could be very common, considering that these beings have like infinite representations, like infinite aspects of themselves.
Right.
There's not infinite people, so theoretically you could have one aspect in like every single person that exists. Like just break yourself up into tiny little pieces and I don't know. You like the Raven, we've got the solitary Raven that's in Nima. Maybe I don't even remember that lady's name that died at the very beginning. Maybe she had one in her that was like the preening raven or something. And how does it work? I don't know. Because
there's some rules about them staying in their realm, but they don't seem like too hard and fast.
No, they don't seem, they seem a little loose. And Luke, the other thing about it, which is feels like a cheat code, Nima's monkey presentation. Do you remember this?
The one where she goes out and gives her a speech and there's a bunch of it's clear that there's a bunch of ravens there.
Yeah, she's tasked to do an improvisational speech about friendship and she goes out there and says like a few words and then has all these ravens cawing and it's like, I get it, you're, this is impressive and makes people think that you are chosen, but you didn't really address the prompt, so C+.
No, she did something about having a friend, didn't she? She's kind of friendly.
She talked about the dead girl.
I kind of forget the speech, honestly.
She talked about
I was impressed by the spectacle and lost sight of the
see?
Details.
See? This is what I mean, Luke. If I'm judging this performance, I'm like, I mean, cool spectacle, but you did not answer the prompt. So it's hard to give you points. Nima.
Yeah, but this is a monkey thing, not like, I feel like that's correct for a raven challenge.
Yeah,
whereas this one is like a artistic popularity contest type thing.
Yeah, but then what's the point of the prompt?
If I'm there, I'm like, okay, that was sweet, yes please, all in.
Right, but then everybody would be ignoring the prompt and just plan some dope-ass thing
to
do.
You gotta have a loose connection, at least, which I think she did. It might have been loose.
Very loose. I don't buy it, Luke. I don't think she should have gotten credit for that.
Okay, you're deducting some points.
Yeah.
Yep. Fair enough. If you, I will say, if you are like part of the Raven contingent who has been kind of anti her for reasons that we have expressed that we can't quite understand, What are you thinking at this moment, after when she does this performance?
I mean, she's won hearts and minds in my mind.
Right? Yeah.
Like she's the one. She's chosen.
Yeah. It's like, okay, well, those were my God right there that were hanging out with her. So I'm actually going to cheer for her.
I actually think maybe we made the wrong call initially, and she's it.
It turns out the person that was like the number one in her class in our school seems to exemplify our principles quite well. And that has been recognized in a very visual display by our literal God. So I'm going to actually cheer for them now.
It turns out the nerdiest nerd was actually the the one like chosen by our God. So
that's sweet.
By our God, the God of nerds.
I should have applied to her scholarship, her to be her assistant all these years.
Yeah.
Even the job was open and I didn't do it. Anyway. So there is so Nima has figured out kind of the murder of what's her name?
Gaeta, I think.
Gaeta, yeah. And at one point she tells Katzen.
Yeah.
And like, yeah, kind of describes everything that's been happening. And Katzen does this thing where she kind of takes the fall.
What do you mean? Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
She like confesses to the murder despite it not being her, right?
Yes.
And instead of taking whatever like normal punishment it would be, she wants to do this like honorable suicide thing.
Yeah.
I have a lot of notes about this.
Okay.
First of all, no.
Luke, remind me of how she confesses to this murder. Because was it that she murdered? No, I thought it was that she stole the knife. Was that not it?
But I thought it was also like I think that they know that the knife wasn't actually what killed her.
Yeah. Okay, here's what I think she confessed to. I think she confessed to stealing the knife and using it to frame Ruko. I think that's what she confessed to.
Okay.
And at this point, they all know she had been poisoned. And the story was that she had poisoned herself. So that was sort of how she was killed. I think Katzen then claimed to have framed Ruko with the knife.
Okay, this makes it better.
I still think, no, you don't get to go do your honorable suicide death thing.
Yeah. I mean, there's two levels of this, right? Like, no, that's, you have committed a crime. you don't get to just like go do a different thing. And then secondly, they have this like moment of like honorable remembrance for her.
Yeah.
That's very strange to me because it's like, this isn't like you didn't do this. I don't even remember you guys doing this for Gaeta when she died, when she was murdered. And maybe it happened and I'm just skipping over it. But like Katzen like is being withdrawn, I should say, because she confessed to trying to frame one of the other competitors.
Yeah.
We're not like being like, oh, what a great person. It's such a shame that she has to go back to the Bear Citadel.
Yeah, but nobody
Shouldn't
likes...
Shouldn't she be like a disgrace? Because also the bear thing is like honor. And it's like, okay, this is... I don't get it.
Yeah, but nobody likes Ruko.
Sure.
So it's okay if you're like trying to frame him for horrific crimes. Do you know what I mean? Because nobody likes him. Because he's kind of a...
Okay.
He's kind of a bad guy because he exiled his sister.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah.
So it's not that bad a crime, actually.
Right.
So it's right. actually enough. Maybe she did good with it.
It's actually, this is whole just a way of signaling that we don't like Ruko, is what you're saying.
Right. If we could, we'd give her like a cool medal and stuff. But we can't.
But the rules say we can't, unfortunately.
Right. Instead, she has to go like jump off a cliff or something.
Right.
But she's not going to.
Which will reclaim her honor.
She's not going to. But I think another part of it too, though, is like clearly she can't continue in the competition because she's only got one arm.
Sure.
So it's also like, well, I can't be a warrior anymore. So I'll just take the fall for this and like head out.
Cool. Cool. I think that is great. I think that's a great way to run the system. Yeah.
Yeah, this whole system seems to be running really well. As evident by the end of this book.
Well-oiled machine.
Yeah.
Speaking of well-oiled machines, Dan.
Uh-huh.
I want to answer a point that I brought up last episode.
Okay.
About our head engineer.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that our head engineer actually is just handling palace upkeep. I think that's his job.
I think you're right, Luke.
Because his main thing has been to like get the budget to keep the castle, the palace. I guess there's multiple palaces on this island, but like the whole thing just maintained.
Yeah.
And I think that we need to change the name of his position if that's going to be his role.
So like head groundskeeper?
Yeah. Yeah. Give me groundskeeper. Head engineer? No.
Yeah. That's not what that is, guys.
And I realize that this is the second time I'm doing this basically same topic, but I'm upset about it.
I mean, clearly this empire has been crumbling for a while.
Yeah.
They're not funding infrastructure, Luke.
Gotta fund. Where are we sending all this money to? In my, I feel... Are you kind of surprised? Because like I feel like the whole dictator vibe usually is like they spend a lot of money on their personal homes and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So this seems to be the opposite. Did you catch where this money was being diverted to?
Yeah, okay. So I think that there's a couple of options for where it was being diverted to. The first is they had to get a lot of dragon scale oil to do these paintings.
Mm.
So there's probably a fair amount going there. They also had to get these like loyal hounds from Samran.
Okay.
They probably have to pay them off pretty handsomely. Aside from that, I don't know. Maybe taxes are really low in this empire.
Taxes could be low.
Maybe they said... They said, we're going to cut taxes and spending.
Maybe. You know what, Dan? Here's my take, actually. I know that he's super evil.
Yeah.
But that's here in this palace. Maybe he's actually been like, listen, we gotta actually spend this money on like the general well-being of the people outside of the palace. So maybe he's actually distributing wealth.
Ah, he's not, Luke. Come on.
He's... Totally not.
You know, but... he's not.
Probably not. Tough to say, though. Dan.
Okay, but Luke, if we are going to consider that Andrin might be a better guy, the thing he does at the end where he traps the guardians.
Yeah.
Is that a good thing? Like, did he do a good
thing? It's totally good. It's a great thing.
Because the danger is that when they come back again, they're going to destroy the world. This is an apocalypse when they come back again. So at this point, calling them guardians is wrong. These are not guardians anymore. These are like doom bringers.
They're apocalypse beasts.
Correct. So they're not guardians anymore. We need to live in constant fear of them and try to figure out how to stop them at this point.
Yeah.
He did it and then effectively stopped them.
Right.
That's a huge W, I think. I feel like all he has to do is tell everybody about that and be like, hey, guys, I stopped the apocalypse, so I'm going to be the emperor now, if that's cool.
The problem is, well, I agree with you, but the problem is, as we've discussed, kind of people don't really believe in it, right? Which, like, it's kind of weird because at the end there, he's also like, oh, we actually created them.
Yeah.
I don't know if I have a good grasp on what they are.
Yeah, I mean, it's nebulous, right? It's still a little nebulous. Yeah. But I just feel like he kind of does save the world. Like, it does sound like they were about to do an apocalypse.
Yeah.
And that was sort of inevitable because this dagger... Listen, you make a dagger, someday it's going to kill somebody, okay? Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but eventually somebody's going to slip and stab themselves, and it's going to happen. And so the fact that it literally did bring about the return, and he dealt with it,
yeah,
amazing. Way to go. He's the hero. He's the hero of that story. In any other book... He's the hero, right?
Despite if he wasn't personally kind of repellent.
Correct.
Yes. I think that's true.
So, like, why are we so upset that he's trapping these apocalypse beasts? Like, Nima's upset about it. They're all upset about it. I get that these things are cool and the vibes are really fun for them. But
vibes are fun.
Their plan is to kill you all. So maybe let's sort of account for that in our calculus.
Well, Dan, what you're forgetting though is that at least one escaped. At least two escaped.
Kind of. What an aspect.
So Soul,
yeah.
Soul escapes and the fox escapes.
Yes.
And the fox escapes. Just by being like, oh, I actually, it was just one of my aspects.
God, that's some bullshit.
They got, okay, so they all should have done that.
Yeah,
probably,
why didn't they all try that? Easy.
But there's some loose threads.
Yeah.
From this solution. It's a little concerning. And the dragon seems confident, Dan.
Seems perfectly okay with it, actually.
Seems like all is going according to plan.
Do you think there is a cockroach guardian?
Or the dragon. Yes.
Do you think there's more than eight? Because I think that there's some other guardians going on.
Well, it seems like they created them in some through like belief or something like that.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, gotta have. There's plenty.
Yeah.
All over the place. For sure.
Well, and it sounds too like this poison forest came about after they made the guardians.
Mm.
Based on how Andren was talking about it, it sounds like there were like little empires all over.
Yeah.
And then they made the guardians. He says there was like a cataclysm happening, like some kind of apocalyptic event happening that they created the guardians to stop. I don't know. That was a long time ago. How do you know?
Yeah. Do you kind of think that Nima is not a good historian?
Because yeah, go ahead.
She like finds all of these. She is like very instrumental in his plan, but unwittingly.
Yeah.
Because she kind of finds all of these, like, I don't know, bits of folklore or something like that that he collects.
Yeah.
And then he like sees the big picture behind it, but she seems to be just like, here's a quote that I found.
I think you're right. The fact that Andren is the one who pointed out this like historical clue to her.
Yeah.
Is wrong. Like How did the Raven not? How are you not reading this material? How are you not? Instead, also, Luke, here's the other crazy thing about it. When we start this book, she is like the nerdiest nerd about this shit. And she's like writing all kinds of histories. And people are like, why are you writing that? Nobody gives a shit. And it's like,
right.
Of everyone, she would have been the one to figure this out. Not Andren.
Yeah, I mean, it. And what I mean by she's not a good historian is, like, I feel like she is maybe very good at doing the kind of, like, grunt work behind this.
Yeah.
But she seems to not be able to catch the big picture of what of the things that she's uncovering, right?
Right. Yeah, she's going around to, like, ancient tombs and finding, yeah, little scrolls and stuff. But she's not,
and
like...
then just, like, handing them over.
Exactly. Yeah,
like, that doesn't interest me, actually.
Correct. Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah. Maybe that's why the rest of the Ravens were like, she's not it. She can write really good. She's got, like, great penmanship. And for some reason, that's weighted really heavily on the final exam. But otherwise, like, this girl can barely read.
Great penmanship and, like, grammar.
Yeah.
But the content is not there, maybe.
She's failing all those, like, reading comprehension quizzes. Yeah, exactly.
Which is tough, but... what do you think about rekindled love here?
I mean, had to happen. We're glad it happened. Like, we've been saying this from the start. Y'all just needed to talk about this. Sad. Too bad it took y'all so long to talk about this. But yeah, y'all just needed to kind of hash it out.
Okay. Can we talk about the Dragon Challenge a little bit?
Yeah.
So, do you think that the Dragon Challenge was lame?
Yes.
Okay. Because it's... like, the hype around it was like, oh, this is the craziest thing ever. And, like, people die all the time. And, like, it's so grueling. People wish that they didn't go in.
Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah. And then they do it, and it's like, oh, they get some visions of the future.
Yeah.
And then whoever says yes is the emperor. Uh-huh. What?
Yep.
That's terrible.
Terrible as in it's not a good trial, or terrible as in it's a bad way to choose the emperor? What do you mean it's terrible?
Well, it's not... like, I mean, it's lame, first of all, because this isn't really like a trial. This is more just like, we looked it up on Google, and he is the emperor, actually. So.
Yeah.
Because, like, that's what this is.
Correct.
Like, we checked. We checked who's the emperor, and it's Ruko.
You would think that they would do this just for every emperor, right?
Yeah, let's not... we don't have to do this whole rigmarole thing if there's an answer.
Yeah, why not? Right. Why are we not starting with this?
Yeah.
You pick the most likely contender, and you're like, hey, we need you to look in the future real quick. And then you're just going to tell us yes or no, are you the emperor? And if they say yes, you're like, we found him.
Also, is there like a check? Are we taking a lie detector test or anything?
They did warn them not to lie.
Okay.
So, yeah, I felt like it was a little underwhelming as well, Luke. It's just like, yeah, not really a trial, actually. Luke, I do want to talk about the magic in this world a little bit.
Okay.
So Yasala gets some magic that we see. Mm-hmm. And the big twist in this section comes from a spell this like chameleon soul stealer spell that Andrin is able to use.
Yeah.
I was not about it. This is upsetting to me.
Okay.
Because at this point, I mean, Yana's still alive because there's got to be some special magic to keep. Like, it just sort of ruins the stakes for me of a lot of stuff. I feel like the foreshadowing of this spell was not strong enough for me to be like, oh, that's how it's being used. Instead, it's just like, yeah, Andrin actually has a special cheat code where he can pretend to be anybody, and that's how he did it.
Okay.
And you only get a hint of it right when he uses it, like right when it matters for him to use it. It's not like any other character does like a small variation of it. It's like the book starts with a literal chameleon and you're like, that's the foreshadowing we're getting.
Yeah, I see what you mean. Like there's it's too much of a just like a sudden,
the reveal is too sudden,
the whole, yeah,
because otherwise like Nima is actually Yana, huh, surprise. Turns out Nima has actually been Yana the whole time. How crazy is that?
Right,
why not?
Yeah,
I get that it's a book. I get that it's a book and you do like it's all made up anyway. It just was like, it felt like too big of a thing for the magic to explain it. Like you, there's like a, I feel like there's a limit to what magic can explain all at once. And if you try and make it do too much, it's like, well, then nothing that's happened has actually happened.
Yeah. I think I understand what you're trying to say. Like it feels a little bit unearned maybe. Mm.
Yeah, sure. Sure. Like, I feel like it breaks the trust. I feel like there's a certain level of trust that's built up where, like, when the author says something is one way, like, you trust that that's how it is.
Sure.
And unless
they've provided enough clues for you to figure it out.
Exactly. Which is what the role, I think, of foreshadowing is a lot of the time in books like this, where you can be like, oh, I just didn't pick up on the clues that the author was leaving that this could happen.
Right.
And maybe if we went back and read it, the clues would be obvious, but I don't think so. Like, I think the conclusion Nima comes to about it being the brother and that's how the like coup happened, I feel like that, I don't know, that feels like it to me.
Yeah.
That's where the clues were leading. And now when you have this like special magic power that lets Andrin Valet do this, feels unearned. You're right. Feels unearned. Broke my trust with the narrative. Yeah. I don't know.
Wow.
I don't know about
broken
it.
Broken trust for Dan.
It's hard to earn. To see it. It's hard to earn.
It's hard to earn back, especially.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay. Fair enough. Yeah. Well, okay. Do you have any more notes?
No.
Do you want to jump into reviews with this then?
Yeah, let's do reviews.
Okay, here. With that in mind, how about we go ahead and just jump into reviews?
Okay.
For now.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think for me it was a bit of a mixed bag.
Mm-hmm.
Where I did kind of like, I think that mostly I enjoyed reading it. Like, it was an entertaining story. I think I kind of liked a lot of the drama behind like choosing the emperor, and I liked a lot of the different personalities. I'm trying to think. I feel like there were a few ways that I didn't love how the book went. Like, a lot of time to me, it felt like the characters acted in a way that I just didn't find. Like, honestly, a lot of times it wasn't necessarily like the magic or the like fantasy aspects of things that took me out of the story. It was like the way that the empire was set up, or like the way that characters would do things, that I think I had some qualms with.
I see.
Does that make sense?
Do you have a, can you provide any examples of what you're talking about?
Well, okay. So like one of them that's more character oriented that we've talked about is how Nima and Kane's break happens.
Yeah.
Where they just like don't talk to each other.
Yeah.
It's like one of those where like kind of the conflict of the story can be resolved if the characters communicate more.
Yeah.
And I kind of don't like when that's the case.
Yeah.
The other thing is that like onto the way that like the empire works, this whole way to select an emperor, I think we mentioned this, but it felt like way too casual.
Yeah.
And like the stakes, it didn't feel like people were taking the stakes as seriously as they should, where I kept being like, you guys, this is deciding the fate, like the direction of the empire for the next 2.5 decades.
Yeah. Correct.
And like it felt like we were genuinely treating it as games.
Yeah. Especially
a lot of the time.
Especially considering that there is no checks to this power from what we've seen. Like if you're the emperor, you are the sole dictator of whatever happens in this empire.
Right.
So
meanwhile the challenges are like, were you nice to these people? Or like, did you find a way? I don't know. They seemed half-assed, as we've discussed.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, this is...
Did you see yourself on the throne?
No.
Yeah. Okay. I guess you're it then. Good job.
Oh, that's great. That's what we've been looking for. So I think overall kind of mixed bag, entertaining kind of on a moment-to-moment basis, but overall I struggled a little bit.
Yeah, I think I largely agree with you. There were some things that I really liked about it. So one thing that I actually liked, which surprised me, was that the author did like a couple of fight scenes. But the author didn't feel obligated to like write a fight scene, even if the fight was being hyped up, right? Like the Ruko visitor fight. Like, we knew that was going to be a big deal. The author did not really write that fight scene. Like,
this is true. Yeah, that's a good point.
She explained what happened as a result, but didn't write it. And I was actually like, you know, that's fine. Like, I actually didn't need to see or have you, like, write, you know, then Ruko punched the visitor in the, you know, I didn't need you to, like, actually explicitly write it. And I think that was a smart editing choice, if it was an editing choice or just like a storytelling choice, because that wasn't really the point of the story. Like we didn't, that would have just like unnecessarily expanded it. Right.
Sure.
I liked a lot of the dynamics between the characters. I thought those were really good. I didn't really like the mystery that much. I think that the magic thing is the, like I was talking about, this like sudden twist here was too much for me. It was too much too quickly, and there was probably some foreshadowing, like when he, you know, after the attempted coup back, you know, a decade earlier, when he is like making the tour with his two children and like showing them off, and he's acting very kindly towards them. Like maybe that's a little bit of foreshadowing, but it feels like so much was riding on this coup, and then to have it that, I don't know. It just felt like the clues weren't there. I was frustrated. I couldn't put the pieces together at least a little bit.
Right. Yeah.
And so that was just frustrating for me. And I, you know, I think it was, when I compare this to another book we've read that was like this one, it reminds me a little bit of, what was the other mystery we read about the creatures beyond the wall, the like third wall?
Yeah, the tainted cup, I think.
The tainted cup. Yeah. It reminds me a little bit of that in that the mystery starts off seeming small and then like really escalates to a big thing that's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the tainted cup did it a lot better than this one. For some reason, I feel like the way that the tainted cup sort of unraveled into a much bigger conspiracy was like better. Like the execution of that was better.
Yeah. Well, this one, like, I know there was kind of a murder mystery aspect to it, but it was not a murder mystery, I don't think.
I don't know, though. Like, I think it kind of was, because at least it had those elements. Well,
like, I feel like we kind of figure out that, like, the Emperor is behind this murder.
Yeah.
Pretty early.
Sure. Sure. But then the mystery expands as to like, why did the Emperor do this? Do you know what I mean? Like, I get that the mystery gets solved in the first like half of the book, but then there's the intrigue of like, why did they do this? Like, what's going on in the bigger picture? Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's fair.
And I don't know. It just didn't work for me for some reason. But like I said, the characters I thought were fun. I liked a lot of their dynamics. The dialogue was good. But yeah, something about the mystery aspect was not working for me.
Yeah.
So anyway.
Yeah, I feel like we're both kind of meh.
Yeah.
On it.
Yeah.
Maybe. Okay. Very good.
Luke, let's move on.
Okay, so that's the Raven Scholar. We're moving on. For next week, we're going to start reading The Gone World by Tom Sweaterlish.
That's right, Luke.
Well, sci-fi.
We're thinking the first third?
Yep.
For next week. So, Raven Scholar, farewell. The Gone World, hello. and we'll be back next week, Luke, bringing the hot takes
and being dumb nerds.